So here we are today on a happy 40th day of the Sefirat HaOmer, and we're holding today on Daf Yud. But we still have a little bit of a review of Daf Tet, since you had the evening to look over the Rashi and absorb all of these cases. And let's just briefly review, you know. No, I mean, the truth is, I'm sure everybody is now satisfied that they don't have to go over every case every time. You know, the idea is clear. And this is Daf Yomi, after all. It's not, I'm not sitting here to work out each detail at every moment, not in the cases and not in the Sferas. I mean, that's what Daf Yomi is all about. And, okay, so let's start again. Yesterday, we started looking at the Mishnah all over again to try to figure out why it only says 15 instead of 16. Levi asked this to Rebbe, and Rebbe gave him a very, very critical retort that it seems that he has no brains, and how can anybody ask a question like that? And apparently, the Gemara first assumes that apparently Rebbe held that we don't discuss cases where there's a machloket. Why would we discuss a machloket? And since the only case, the extra case, was the case of Imo, and Imo could only fault you if Anusat Aviv is mutter, and since not everybody agrees that Anusat Aviv is mutter, so therefore we don't want to mention that case. Now then, the Gemara brought a couple of other cases where it appeared that we do talk about cases that are machloket, and explained that each one of them is different. First of all, we're talking about our perek, and only the setup of the Mishnah. Well, it's an important idea. Only the setup of the Masechet, we're being careful not to speak b'machloket. And cases of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that's not called a machloket. As far as the Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, it's possible to work out a case of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that there's no problem with Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. That's dafke if he was born after another brother had already done the Yibam, but if he was born while he was still in the state of Israel, even he would agree. And therefore, we were satisfied that that was the reason that Rebbe responded so sharply to Levi. Now, then we asked the Kasha, which we did not have a chance to complete because the Kasha involved all those cases. We needed to first understand all the cases. And of course, again, in the multi-leveled Gemara, often the reason that we do this is to get people to understand the background in the cases, even when the Kasha doesn't much matter to us one way or the other. In this case, we'll see, however, that the story has a surprising ending in which the Kasha ends up being the Teretz, as we already saw in the Yerushalmi. But in any event, the Kasha is here that we quote, and I'd like to just do this inside briefly again, so get right back into it. Ask the Gemara. V'ha'amar Rebbe Yudam Rav, v'chein tani Rebbe Chia. Now, there is something curious about that, and it's important to notice it for the Kasha. Usually, we don't ask from a Rebbe Yudam Rav and then mention as an aside, v'chein tani Rebbe Chia. I mean, if it's a tani Rebbe Chia, so you say tani Rebbe Chia. I mean, that's already a bright. Why are we doing this? We're doing this because the word Bekulan Ani Korei Behen appears in the Brayta of Rebbe Chia, but is redefined in the words of Rav, and we wanted to make it clear that there's two different issues here. If we would have first started Tani Rebbe Chia, V'chein Amar of Yoram Rav, Bekulan Ani Korei Behen, and then we would have gone to say, but that Bekulan doesn't really mean Bekulan. Bekulan really means only from Chamoto Ve'elech, as we say later on, we would have thought that that's true about the Braita. It's not true about the Braita. In other words, Rebbe Chia is saying that every last case of the Mishnah is meant to be insertable in the templates that occur later on in the Masechta. That is a fantastically important yesod, and we're going to see it used throughout. Because each time we're going to be wait a minute, but if this case is meant to fit into the later template, then what about? And we ask a question, and we learn all types of halakhos from that. So that means the Masechet is constructed as an interrelated weave, which is what the word Masechet means after all, which in English, the word weave became the word context, and that's what it's all about. So Masechet is the context. And now comes along the Tani Rebbe Chia, And says Bekulan ani kore behem Asrael azem aturat azev Asrael azem aturat azev akotashi yivim tocholetzet omit yabem. And one of the most lovely templates of the Masechta is that we have, Ramati pointed out, the nicest way of bringing this out is that we have an inversion of the general idea of Tzara. Usually a Tzara is the reason that the other Erva cannot, the Erva creates a situation that Tzara cannot be married, and over here the Erva Dafka creates a situation that Tzara can be married. Because if one is an Erva on one brother, and the Erva is the Erva on the other is an Erva on the other brother, then two sisters that fall to Yivam from two deceased brothers to two surviving brothers can both be taken, because they're not Achot Zkukato, because the Erva creates the Yivam in that case. So an interesting offshoot of the din of Arayot is that where you've got, instead of the two falling from the same person, that if two fall from two different brothers to two surviving brothers, each one being an Erva on the other one, then despite the fact that they are sisters who would normally have been considered Achot Zkukato, in this case they're not Achot Zkukato because the Erva took off the Zkukato. Each one stands on their own, one brother marries the only sister that is Ru'uya to him, and the other brother marries the only sister that's Ru'uya to him, and everything is lovely. So it's a beautiful way to take everything and invert it. And the Mishnah is talking about how the Erva pot is the Tzara, but take a look at this cute template. Fit in the same data, and there the Erva creates the Heter for the Yibum, for the other brothers. We don't have a Chutz Kukato. So you really see how we'd like to be able to... He did it again. I just can't believe it.
I missed it.
Just beautiful. Bishleim, if you'd bring a bottle along with you, I'll try to... So, you don't want to do a Sunday morning Kiddush, the Zecher, your father, no. Okay. All right? So, we can understand why we'd want to fit all of the cases into the Mishnah in that template, because it rings so true. We have the same thing, except in the inverse, where the Erva is Matir, basically, the other one, instead of Asring the other one. And indeed, the Rebbe of Reb Chiya said, sure enough, we insert every case in the Mishnah to that template also, even though it's a little complicated because we have to figure out cases where two sisters would nonetheless only, each one would only be usher to one of the other brothers. Some of the cases got a little bit complicated. But the Yesod is quite clear. So the two sisters can be related differently to each one of the two surviving brothers. The only case that gave us a little bit of trouble, if we're talking about licit relationships, was Bito, because how can two sisters be actually related and not be as sisters and not be asirot to both brothers? So the only way we manage that is that the brothers actually had taken the same woman. Isn't that usher? Not if they're not married. It's only usher if one marries that woman, the other one then can't sleep with that woman. But if one never marries that woman, they can both sleep with the same woman. There's no problem in that. So two brothers can share a single woman as long as it's not in marriage. That was the only case that bothered us, which actually led to a caveat about the klal that we got to fit all the cases in, because of that problem, Rav Yehuda mitargein. Now, when Rav Yehuda was, note, this is Rav Yehuda was quoting Rav. Nobody ever inserted that into Rav Chiya. But Rav Yehuda was the one who was quoting Rav, who ended up saying the same thing that the words of Rav Chiya, which are our brayos, are saying. And remember that Rav Chiya was the direct Talmud of Rebbe. So when we have a Tani Rav Chiya, we do not treat it as a normal braita. A Tani Rav Chiya is usually understood as being in concurrence with Rebbe. So that these were the checked braitot, which is why any braita that isn't approved by certain authorities, Rav Oshia and so on, we don't accept. But Rav Chiya, that's already a braita that's approved by Rebbe himself. It was an accurate translation of the way that the Mishnah is meant to be taken. So we never find that the Gemara has this limitation. We're only talking about Mechama Tova Elech. But Rav Yehuda quoted Rav, said, look, I want you to know that when Rav said these words, he actually limited it. Because he didn't want it to apply to the first set of cases, which were all bat cases, bat including granddaughter and the granddaughter of the wife, and so on and so forth. Because the cases, my taima, Kiven de bito ba'onasin mashkachat lo v'nisrin lo mashkachat. This is the only way we could figure out a case where two sisters from the same mother can fall to Yibum, and one is related to one brother and one is related to the other brother, could only be when the brothers had shared the same woman, which is only possible outside of the context of marriage. The Mishnah doesn't want to create cases up front that only make sense where the template will only be able to be filled by cases of illicit relationships. So we don't mention it.
But the, other than Bito, all the other cases could
be. Right, but it's all. But there's only one set. Since we can't use that set, we'll exclude the set. So, bonus in Lokomari. Whereas Abaye said, no, there's no reason. Leave it open, it's getting horribly stuffy in here. So, Abaye was Metargim. The truth is, it's not getting stuffy, it's just getting humid. And what we really could do is run the air conditioning on it. I think it has a dehumidifier. So, Abaye was Metargim. Av Bitum, we're also freer today because Saba Josh is at a great grandson's Brit, and we don't have to worry about chilling him. So Abaye was Batagim Av Bitum Mianu Sato, because who cares? I mean, what's the difference how it got there? I mean, given that Shkokim Mishkachatla, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, Onis in Davi. The case only works out to be an Onis, so let it be an Onis. Right. Now, and here we get to the critical issue. Critical issue is this. I'd agree that we wouldn't insert the case. Why is that? Because Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo cannot possibly happen. How can you have two sisters, one of whom is Asura to a brother because she's Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, and the other one is a surah to the other brother, but not to the first brother? I mean, they have to have been born in time, one after the other. So by definition, if the later one is for sure going to be usher on the earlier one. So you can't have the same woman be usher to only one, because the nation... There is a case, though, according to Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo does not always apply, right? It only obtains in cases where the child was born before a brother had done Yibum. So that means according, it's very fascinating, according to Rabbi Shimon, it is actually possible to have two sisters, one of whom will be an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo on an earlier brother, but not on a later brother. Well, it's weird, even though he was born afterwards. Right! But by the time he was born, this woman had already been married to a surviving brother, and that was in the same world as him. Right? So it's an interesting situation. You can have, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, but only I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, you can have a case where two sisters would be asurot to only, each to only one brother out of two surviving brothers, despite the fact that time flows in only one direction. That's not a problem, because Rabbi Shimon, we can interrupt the flow for creating the Isur of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo by the simple expedient of having the brother being born after the Yibum takes place. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, we don't want to talk about that case. Whereas Rav Safra was said, well, what's the difference? It could even work out Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Now, notice they're all talking about Rav, right? When it comes to the... What a joy to have Mike. Why the heck are you sitting back there when I could be having so much fun looking at you?
Right? Not all the seats
were taken. Well, but Abba's not here, and you could be there. None of this would be such a great occasion. Go over there.
Drift, though.
It's continental drift?
Yeah.
With global warming? My gosh. This is really, really a disaster. But listen, I mean, the continents have drifted so far. San Diego is now in your line, so there's advantages. How would it work? But again, I'll leave it to Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was not concerned about all of this stuff, right? Rabbi Chia was perfectly happy to say all of the cases are meant to be included. We got no problem with that. All the cases, including Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Now, it's very fortunate for us at Rav Safra, in trying to describe how that case would be applied, even according to Rav, so he, meanwhile, is explaining to us why Rabbi Chiya included it in the Braita, right? So Rabbi Chiya obviously must have been thinking along the same lines that Rav Safra was thinking when Rav Safra said that Rav would have been willing to include all of the cases, even Eishtachim Shaloya Bolamo, and Mashkachatla. It's a very simple case. As long as you postulate six brothers, then everything works out fine. Because look, again, without going into the details, it's obvious that according to Rabbi Shimon, one brother can be have a problem of being an Eishtachim Shaloya Bolamo to one of the wives, because when he was born, that woman had not yet been mityabemet to the surviving brother. And a later brother, by the time he was born, the woman was already married to another brother and was not usher. Ah, but when he was born, another brother had died, leaving another woman, and he was born before the other brother took her, but that woman wasn't usher on the first brother because he was already alive together with that brother in the world. So there you get a very simple, fascinating situation where the later brother becomes now the Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo to the later deceased brother, and the first brother and an Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo to the earlier deceased brother. Now both of these women are married, and curiously enough, the first brother's wife, who is now married to the second brother, is a woman who is not an Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo to the later born brother, the sixth brother, because by the time he was born, she was already married to the second brother. Whereas the earlier one remained also, and yet by the time that he was born, there was already the third brother's wife, who when he was born was in a state of zika to him and asered it forever, but she was of course muteret to the other brother because he had been living with brother number three for the past 20 years without any problems. So you've got now the two brothers that had married those two women. They end up now, three and four end up dying, five and six end up now being the ones that have to be miyabim. They end up with having two sisters, one of whom was Asura to five, who had been born 20 years before, and the other one is Asura to six, but Mutter to five. And so each one now has got a classic case of a cross between two sisters, neither of whom therefore is Achot Zukukato, but rather the Achot of a Zukukato to another brother, which is none of my business. And each one takes the one that is Ru'uya for him, and therefore the classic template of, you right? Therefore the classic template of Asur Lazem, Mutar Tazev, Asur Lazem, Mutar Tazev, that therefore Shtei Achayot that are now Zukukot, end up not being Achot Zukukot that could be taken, fits even the case of Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. But obviously, such a thing could only happen according to Rabbi Shimon. I mean, if you hold that Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, doesn't matter whether at the time that the brother was born, she was married to the second brother through Yibum, or wasn't married, it's always going to be the same. Then obviously, if she's an Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, someone who was born 20 years earlier, Koshkin, she's an Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, somebody who's born 20 years later. What's enough? I mean, if she's married to somebody else now. So how could you ever have a case where she's only an Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo to one of the brothers born later? So by definition, we're talking Aliba to Rabbi Shimon. Now, I mean, this. And now what you need to remember is only v'simanecha meis nelad v'yavam, meis nelad v'yavam. In other words, the case would have to be where we have, let's take our brothers. So we have four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Reuven and Shimon marry the two sisters. Reuven dies first. At that point, brother number five is born. And now when he's born, he finds that woman in a state of still zikuka to Yibum, and therefore he becomes now osr on her, shouldn't be forever, is now an Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Okay, Levi, brother three, goes ahead and is miyabim her, and then what happens is that the second brother, who was married to the other sister, Shimon, he dies, at which point brother six is born. Now, the moment that brother six is born, the sister that had been married to Shimon becomes prohibited on him forever as an Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. However, when he's born, he finds that the original wife of Reuven is now happily remarried to brother three. And then goes ahead now brother four, Yehuda, goes ahead and marries the second one. And now, brothers three and four, Levi and Yehuda, died. And they leave now their two wives to brothers 5 and 6. So we have a classic cross relationship. The original wife of Reuven is Asura to brother 5, but Mutaris to brother 6. And the original wife of Shimon is Asura to brother 6, but Mutaris to brother 5. And therefore, we say exactly what we were trying to say. Asura to ze, Mutaris to ze, Asura to ze, Mutaris to ze. As long as it goes in this order. Mace, brother 1, dies. Nolad, brother 5, is born. Yavam, now brother 3, is Miyabim. Mace, brother 2, dies. Nolad, brother 6, is born. Yavam, and now brother 4, is Miyabim. And then, of course, the end of the case is that brothers 3 and 4 die, and now brothers 5 and 6 are cross-related to the Achor. Assumption is that if Rabbi Chiya said this in a Braita, and he was explaining the Mishnah, then essentially that had been cleared with Rebbe, and Rebbe in being Koveya, the Mishnah of Chamesh Esrei Nashim, was essentially agreeing that all of those Nashim need to be plugged into the later template, which also occurs in the Mishnah, of Shtei Achayot, that are Nesuot to Shnei Achim, and they end up falling to the other Shnei Achim B'Yibu, Asura L'Zeh, Mutar L'Zeh, Asura L'Zeh, Mutar L'Zeh, in all 15 cases, including Eshet Achim Shelo Hayah Ba'Olama, which means that Rebbe was talking Alibi to Rebbe Shimon. Because otherwise, how can he set it up in such a way that we take 15 that fit into the later case, where the only way they could fit in was Rebbe Shimon? And you said that the reason that Rebbe said that Levi doesn't have any brains is because B'plukta lo kamari, but Rebbe himself had included B'plukta. Now that's the problem. Okay, we all see that problem?
Say that
it's so simple.
I was writing something down. I didn't.
You were writing something down?
Writing something down.
Wow. You should have used your one of your computer things and let it write itself. So the problem ends up being that with the assumption that Rabbi Chiya cleared his interpretation that the Mishnayot are interrelated and the template of the later has to use the values that are given the earlier, which are the 15 women, that Rebbe agrees with that. And the only ways that those values can be fit into those parameters are if we're talking Aliba to Rebbe Shimon, because how else could you have a woman that is an Eshet Achim Shelo Hayah Ba'Olama to an earlier brother but not to a later brother? That's insane. Unless, of course, Rebbe Shimon holds that we're talking about when we're being born to one while she was a kuka and one where she wasn't. But that's a plukta. Ah! So it appears that Rebbe does talk about a plukta. And Rebbe was claiming that Levi doesn't have any brains because he didn't realize that we're not talking about a plukta. So what was he all hot under the collar about when it came to Levi if he himself had agreed to Rebbe Chiya? Yeah, well, Rebbe Ani Chloe Leslie. Well, he doesn't necessarily agree to the rules of Rebbe Chiya, you know, he just agrees to the explanations of Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya wants to say, take all the values in Mishnah 1 and dump it into Mishnah 6. And, you know, look, he wants to do that, it's not my business. But the fact is that then you'd be talking about a plukta, which is not necessarily what I have in mind when I'm being besotted of these Mishnayot. I mean, obviously, these Mishnayot are ancient Mishnayot, they didn't make them up. But the point is that I don't agree with every last element in the Seder that he's describing. Okay, so maybe they're not fully interrelated.
So does that mean that the Braisa of Rebbe Chiya wasn't actually okayed by Rebbe?
Right, it means that when he's Mefarish a Mishnah, it may be okayed. But this is not the Pirish of a Mishnah. This is an interpretation of whether the values of the Mishnah are usable elsewhere. That's a different thing. Okay. I'm getting highlighted myself. That's good, right? I suppose. I mean, if it turns out to be a halo. So, now the cuter approach is like this, huh? Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Sure. We're just begun.
Like those.
No, are we in today's topic?
Sure. So, Rav Kahana, I mean, Rav Ada Karchina, Kameda Rav Kahana Amar Mishmeda Rava, that's not true. Rebbe actually does hold of everything that Rav Chiya said. Le'olamit le'Rebbe Hani Kvali. V'hochika Amar Le. That's actually the whole point And it's beautiful. Because what's Levy saying? Levy is saying you should list 16 because you'd be including the mother, which is only mutter now, in the case of which it's anusas aviv. The idea over here is that anusat aviv, let's try that, okay? Let's list anusat aviv and then see what happens. Because now we have 16 cases that need to be plugged into the templates. You wouldn't want to list a value that you can't plug into a later template, right? Okay, let's try plugging in anusat aviv in our new Mishnah of 16 arayot into the template of akotashi yevinta. Okay, go ahead, I dare you, okay? Because anusat aviv b'choda mashkachat la, b'tarte loka mashkachat la. The case over here is you can fulfill one of the requirements of the later template, one or the other, but not both. Look, let's take a case, okay? Yaakov, the father. So now, he took two sisters and he made them both his anusot. So he illicitly sleeps with two sisters. Fine. So now we have what? A case where you have the anusa. Okay, so you have the case of achota shehi yevinta mashkachatla. So then we can find a simple case. He goes ahead, sister number one has a son called Levi that he raped, right? He created Levi from her. And sister number two has Yehuda. Now Reuven and Shimon marry the two sisters, which are muteras to them. Okay, you're looking at the that horrible thing over there, which will make it impossible for you to understand anything. So now the two brothers over here go ahead and marry the two sisters. So when they die, the brothers that were created from those sisters, from the same father, end up being mothers that are falling, right? Okay, that's great. You got that. But how do you get Asur Lazeh, Muteret Lazeh? There's always going to be a problem of having your mother's sister fall to you also. That's the problem. A mother's sister is also an erva. It doesn't matter whether she's a mother that became your mother through rape or not through rape. I mean, who cares? Fact is, this is your mother's sister. She has the same father. How can you marry the woman who's your mother's sister? So it's all very nice to say that, well, Reuven is all not, Reuven's not going to be marrying his mother. He's going to be marrying Shimon's mother. Yes, but Shimon's mother is the sister of his mother. Because the case given is two sisters. You're telling me we have to have this. Remember, there's two elements to this template. Two sisters, that's element A. And how Surah Lazo Mutarat Lazeh. Surah Lazeh Mutarat Lazeh, and Surah Lazeh Mutarat Lazeh. But the problem over here is that you're always going to introduce another issue. The issue being Achot Imo, because they're two sisters. So how can you have the case? Go ahead, how can you have the case? If Yaakov originally had raped two women who are not sisters, then fine, you could certainly have Asur Lazeh Muteret Lazeh, but then they're not sisters. So there's no point in discussing the whole situation because you won't have Achot Zkukato to have to deal with the Erva. So you cannot fit the case of Imo into the template. That's the whole idea, you see. That's what Rebbe was saying, Levi's an idiot. And doesn't he understand that the Mishnayot all need to be filled one into the other? See, if I have the template of Achoto, and there also needs to be Asur Lazeh Muteret Lazeh, and Asur Lazeh Muteret Lazeh, and I have to be able to take all of the cases mentioned in Mishnah A and stick them into this other template, how can I throw in the case of Emo and then ruin the whole beautiful case of Asur Lazeh Muteret Lazeh? Because it's impossible. It'll always be Achot Emo. That's precisely why he said Levi's crazy. How could anybody not realize that? I mean, the first thing that strikes you when you read the Mishnah is it couldn't possibly say Emo, because then how would you have Asur Lazeh Muteret Lazeh? It would always create an Achot Emo. I mean, who wouldn't think of that? A guy who asks a question like that has no brains. At least after he's reviewed it a few hundred times. Right? So, okay, so that's exactly what Rebbe was taking into consideration. Not only is your kasha no kasha, your kasha actually gives us the missing link that we couldn't understand was bothering Rebbe. So now we understand, of course. So you won't have a case. Yeah, that you can have, but then they're not sisters. That was the whole point of the case, was to create achot skukato. If there's no achot skukato, what are we talking about? Well, we now understand why he said that to Levi. Rav Ashi says, nah, you know what? There's a very, I mean, this is complicated. There's a very simple reason why he would have said to Levi that he's got no brains. We could even say that Rebbe, indeed, like you said, doesn't hold that you have to necessarily be able to insert all of the cases like Rebbe Chiya said. Maybe he doesn't hold that. Maybe we all unless Leila Rebbe Hani Kololi. And maybe Rebbe also doesn't care about talking about cases that are machlokas in. And the reason that he said the case, that he left out the case of Emo, is not because he's scared of a little machlokas here and there. That's not the point. So then why did he take him to Dumani Sheno Mach Bekatkado? Why did he say that Levi doesn't have any brains? Ah. He was saying to Levi, I understand, you don't know how to read a Mishnah. My time alodayakta matnita. You know that the Mishnahs over here could only be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Asarban Usat Aviv. I mean, it's true when you read the first Mishnah. Oh boy. Somebody's.
You read the first Mishnah.
Finish the second.
Wow.
Which is mostly.
I can be replaced by a parrot.
No, not true. I never said the word Mishnah. That was what was impressive. But that's the point. A parrot wouldn't know that. That's the whole point.
Yeah, a psychic parrot, right.
So the Mishnah is clearly going like Rabbi Yehuda. Because take a look at the next Mishnah, Diktani. Remember the next Mishnah? Shesh arayot chamurot me'elu, v'pnei she'nisuot la'acherim. Six other arayot, besides the 15 listed in the first Mishnah, are more chomer in the sense that they couldn't even be married to your brother anyway, so therefore they couldn't fall to Yibum. So therefore, zorotehem mutarot. Now look at those six arayot. Imo, ve'eshet aviv, v'achot aviv. Whoa. What do you mean imo? What's the case of imo? What? Nisuat aviv. Imo is nisuat aviv, is eshet aviv. I mean, why bother mentioning twice? Imo, and nisuat aviv. Same thing, no? Ah. Unless it's not the same thing. And imo is referring to the case of anusat aviv. And nonetheless, the Mishnah is saying that your mother, out of wedlock, who cannot possibly fall to you in Yibam. She's one of the Sheish HaRayot Chamurot Me'ela. Now, who holds that? We don't hold that. We hold that the brother could simply have married the same woman that his own father, who happens to be your father, since we're talking about Yibam, had a casual relationship with, assuming that rape is casual, and, but it didn't have to be rape, right? And she would fall to you for Yibam. So it must be that we're going to leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. So understand, if you see that the Mishnayot are going to leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you ask me why it doesn't say 16 women? I don't understand. Elalav anusat aviv. Ukatani, the Mishnah is insisting, b'tnei she'nisuot la'acherim. They can't be married to your brother. They can only be married to other people. La'acherim in la'achim lo. Now, who holds that? Man shamat lehaisva, who holds that? It sure ain't us. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the asar banusat aviv, mishum ha'chilotani le. Obviously, that's the reason it doesn't appear in the first Mishnah. Because we're already saying in the second Mishnah, we don't hold it. So how could somebody read this perek and come up with the insane question of why don't we list the case of anusat aviv unless he doesn't have any brains? I mean, so then I say, okay, so Levi doesn't have any brains. What am I supposed to do? Omele Ravina Laravashi. Now, wait a second. It's not so simple. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you're a naughty boy for marrying your father's lover, he still would hold that such a marriage is a binding marriage. Where does it say that? It doesn't list that case in the case of the Arayot to make it al Isser Karet. It's a separate law, right? We have Knaf, Shira'a, Aviv, Lo Yigale, Knaf, Aviv, Knaf, Shira'a, Aviv, this is the skirt your dad picked up, none of your business. That's a law. It doesn't say anything about a Karet over there. So in other words, had this brother gone ahead and married her, would have been a perfectly good case of Yibum. No, so even if you hold a Rebbe Yehuda, we could have listed the 15 Arayot. I mean, I understand that. So Rebbe Yehuda Nami Mashkafra, D'i Avar V'Nasiv, if the brother went ahead and married her anyway, so she still could have fallen to Yibum, so something's fishy about this. Well, D'i Lokatanis, we're not talking about ifs. Those are big ifs. I mean, we don't want to create a case where the only reason that she falls to Yibum is because the brother was a bad boy. The Mishnah is not talking about a marriage that is not quite licit for the Yibum. Omelei Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, now wait a second. The marriage can be completely licit. I mean, as long as we're living in Appalachia, there's no problem. Because even without a D.E., there's... Look, it's very simple. We could have a case without a brother doing anything wrong at all. And that would be, Yaakov goes ahead and rapes his daughter-in-law. Now he has a son from that daughter-in-law who is, interestingly enough, who is the brother, oh, this is classic Appalachia, who is the brother of his mother's husband. Mm-hmm. Reuven, the son of Yaakov, was brother A. Shimon, the son of Yaakov, is brother B. But brother A was perfectly reasonably married to this woman when she was raped by his father, creating brother B, so that now when brother A dies, brother B is faced with his own mother, who was the licit wife of his brother. Reuven was completely beheter married to his mother.
After he was on his side. No, not while.
What do you mean after? It all started off as a perfectly normal. They had the Rava Roshi there at the wedding. Everything was fine. Reuven marries this girl, great family, everything's fine. No, she was not sleeping with anybody. 20 years later, the father, who was at that point at the wedding, was wearing a big black hat, you understand? But the father, 20 years later, ends up now raping his daughter-in-law.
As an Ashish.
Yeah. I mean, she's already Kalato, he might as well go all the way. What a mamzer. But anyway, it doesn't matter. No, a brother who's a mamzer is still a brother.
And Jimmy and Billy Carter,
okay, so in any event, so now she will fall to her own son, Shimon. Umigo de'i Asira, since she is now Asura on Shimon, the Torah will also be Asira, and everything is okay. I mean, nobody did anything wrong except somebody who's not in the picture. I mean, we don't. That doesn't bother us. People not in the picture is not the point. I mean, once we get the relative, all we care about is getting the relative. I mean, that's a black box. Once we get the relative out of that black box, I mean, it's usually not a good idea to look inside black boxes anyway. I mean, if you did, you'd collapse the wave function of the universe and everything would simply stop. So, therefore, what we do is we have a perfectly kosher marriage of Reuven to a woman who happens to be the mother of his brother. You know? So what's wrong with that?
And you sort it only in the case of only in the case of unmarried women. And you saw a married woman that's
what? If you somehow don't like that. It's worse. This is mind boggling. He would never live in Appalachia.
So he sleeps with a married his neighbor's married.
Neighbors. That's neighbors. Neighbors. Even think about simple cases like that. She's been living in the same house for 20 years with him. No man, no wonder this kind of stuff happens. What? He's a very, very bad boy. It's a good thing nobody was looking, so we couldn't knock him off. Until this point, they were unmarried. At this point, we're getting more excited. Yeah, bad. It's bad news. She's doubly Chayav Misa. She's an Eishes Ish, and she's also his Kalato.
His daughter-in-law was an Eishes Ish.
Yep. Yeah, this guy is in for it, let me tell you. But, I mean, that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about now the offspring. So the offspring, it's not his fault. Poor Shimon. Right? I mean, that was last week's parasha. That was poor Shimon was yelling. I mean, what's it my fault? I mean, why can't I be in the Machane and everything? But nonetheless, it should be listed. Omar Lehi, so Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, because our Mishnah does not take place in the context of Appalachia. That's the point. If we have to figure out every illicit possibility and try to include it in Ilkos Yevamos, I mean, my God, it's bad enough with the things that are illicit, okay? So to start talking about Achmata the Asire, in which we start with all of these Calypso songs and so on and try to figure out who's related to who, forget it. The Mishnah's not interested in that. Nonetheless, despite the fact that Rebbe attacked Levi in this way, you can't shake a guy like Levi just because you call him brain dead. That's not going to shake him. And he stood his ground, and Afal Pi Kein, but Ka Levi Bimatnite, actually Levi, maybe this was even the reason, you know, I'll teach him. Rebbe had his way of learning the Mishnah, but Levi and everybody else, of course, had their own definitions of what the Mishnah means and how to read them. In Levi's own list of what become to us brightot of how to understand the Mishnah, he actually said as follows, to Tani Levi, Levi's own appreciation of the Mishnah is as follows. And the 16th, being Emo, Pa'amim poteret sarata, pa'amim sheina poteret sarata. Ketzad, there's two emos. There's an emo who is Nusu Ataviv, who goes ahead and gets married to a brother from his father. That is such an illicit marriage that it isn't a marriage. And therefore she would never pater anybody, despite the fact, assuming that we're in Appalachia, that he proudly presents his father's wife, the mother of his brother, he proudly presents at every function as his wife. But when he dies, the brother doesn't even have to look at her twice because she has never felt him. She's never married to the brother since she was the actual married wife of his father.
It's a curse.
Sure, of course it's a curse. So therefore the marriage is, doesn't mean marriage, it's not marriage. I mean, it happened to be, they think they're married, but Torah doesn't think they're married. So therefore we can ignore them. But the case that everybody was embarrassed about, now that's a case where they actually do fall to Eva. That was the case where his father had raped the woman who was his mother. And then that's the only case that indeed you can proudly present that woman as your wife. Because there the marriage is typhus. And even according to Rabbi Yehuda, might not be so proud, but I mean it's still a wife, so there she would potter. So in the case where the mother was an Isu Ataviv who went ahead and married illicitly a brother, which is not even a marriage, and then the brother dies, that's an ima. She ain't poteret sarata, because she's not even married. So the only one that was really married was the co-wife, and therefore an erva doesn't pater, a co-wife is not a really co-wife. She's just a co. So therefore that doesn't count. Whereas the ima who was anusat aviv, who was nisit la'achiv mi'aviv, is the mate. Oh, now there you got Zoe Imosha Poteret Sarata. And even though our wise predecessors read in the Mishnah Chameshes Reinachim, it's not a bad idea to add 16. Just don't do it in front of them. They have a tendency to be nasty. So we could learn in the Mishnah, Yeshua Nosif Sheshesre, Kigonzu. So Levi stood his ground, and in his bright of the Mishnah, he said, remember, there's always the 16th. That's a good name for a novel.
Sweet 16.
Omer le Reish Lakish le Rabbi Yochanan. How Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. That means, according to Levi, we are ready to list in the Mishnahs cases of what if somebody would, right? Because that's what happened over here. What if somebody would? I mean, he was a bad boy, but what if he would? We're ready to list the what if, the E, what if cases as the cases of the Mishnah. So that if, according to him, we have a very interesting additional case that nobody mentioned. That's really fascinating. A guy who gives chalitza to his Yavama. Then he goes and he remarries her. And he's not supposed to, but de'i, there's no iser karet. Once a woman falls to yibum to a brother, there's no longer an iser karet on that woman. Period. So whatever he does with her, he sleeps with her. That's great, because then he did yibum. He gives her chalitza, not as great. But she doesn't become once again now his brother's wife. Once she's muteret, she's no longer the brother's wife, there's no longer an iser karet on her. Fine. So he wasn't supposed to take her back after doing chalitza. Why is that? Because it says so simply as an iser. Asher lo yivneh et beit achiv. Why do we say asher lo yivneh? Why don't we say asher lo bana et beit achiv in chalitza? It's telling you, well, he ain't going to get another chance. Asher lo yivneh. That's it. We take off his shoes once, not twice. He's never getting another opportunity. Okay, so the Torah is telling you another lav. It's not an issachar, another lav. Now, suppose he ignored that lav, because according to according to Levi, we insert in the Mishnah cases of what ifs. What if he ignored that lav? And he went ahead and he married her anyway. Now he dies. Now, since she remains to the other brother, an Ashes Ach, which another brother had been miyabim and not him, so on the other brother now, she's an Erava, so you could say, put there at Sarata. Great. So Levi's got a big problem, because if he says 16, he's got to say 17. This is in this case too. Right? Let's see that inside. Oh my Lord, Reish Lakish, good, this is so much fun. So Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Levi, who also says what if cases, so then how about this what if? He should also say a case, litne, acholetz levimto, a guy gives chalitza. Then he goes in and he's over the lav, which is not an iser karet, so it's a perfectly good marriage. When he goes back and he remarries her, his chalitza. He then dies without sons. The migo di I asura, since she is asura on the other brothers, so her tzara is also asura, so you should say, shva esrei nashim, potro tzara tehen, one of them being the fifth case that we've had of a brother's wife who was not b'makom mitzvah, basically. To the other brothers, it's not b'makom mitzvah. So it's like the same thing, eshes achiv shalaya b'olamo, eshes achiv mina'ein. We got cases of a brother's wife as one being one of the 15 women. Here's another case of a brother's wife being one of the 15 women. A case where she was a chalutza to brother A and him remarried her, but she remained asura bikare to brother B. And now brother B dies, and now brother C can't marry either of them. That's great. Oh, yeah, this is brilliant. I like it. I like it. You're already getting into the swing of things. Obviously, there can't be a tzara tzara. And that's the answer. Amalei says, Rabbi Yochanan to him, l'fishena b'tzara tzara. Remember, the cases have to fit the entire template. The Mishnah says, potro tzara tehem v'tzara tzara tehem. In order to have tzara tzara tehem, by definition, the woman has got to be, the tzara has got to be marriageable to one other brother who then dies and leaves it to yet another brother, and therefore she's the tzara of a tzara. But in this case, if she was an iser karet to all the brothers, who would she be able to marry? So where do you get a tzara tzara? All you get is a tzara. Sorry, we don't list cases in the Mishnah that are so simple. We're only interested in the interesting cases. So therefore, the 17th case goes down the drain.
Why was this question only according to Levi?
Because according to everybody else, we don't say cases of what if. What if somebody married a woman that he wasn't supposed to marry? And this is one of those cases, because it's what if he went ahead and married a woman who was his chalutza, that the Torah says, lo yivneh, you shouldn't marry. But if you don't know the what if cases, okay, so then we don't list any what if cases, but then we would only have the 15. Yeah. Okay. Now, wait a second over here. Uh-oh. Rabbi Yochanan just did some... Are you coming back for the review this year? Chumash? Well, it's not a 9:15 anymore. It's at 9:45.
I'm operating under a new paradigm.
Oh, really? New paradigm.
My wave function is collapsing.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. There's a big problem over here, because the assumption over here is that if she is muteret to the first brother who gave her chalitza, muteret in the sense of karet, we remove the isur karet, we did not remove the isur karet from the other brothers. The problem is that Rabbi Yochanan himself does not hold that. Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that once a woman falls to Yibum, there's 100 brothers, only one of them is going to do Yibum, she's no longer an Eshadach to any of the brothers, by definition. Because since any of the brothers could have been Miyabim her if they went ahead and just did it, and the Torah would have said that's a mitzvah, not an Avera, so what suddenly reinserted the Isra of Eshadach on her when there was originally a mitzvah? I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan should not have answered Mipnei She'ina B'tzarat Sarah. He should have said because she's actually Muteret, the brother. So why did he say this? We're going to see this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish shortly. So ask the Gemara, but wait, the Lemalei, I mean, his own Shita is, and therefore what he should have said, is he should have said, well, the only Isser is Chayvei Lavin to all of the brothers, it's only Chayvei Lavin, which is that you cannot take a woman who was already a Chalutza, Shuv Lo Yivneh, and, what's more, a Tzora cannot be taken, not because she remains an Isser Erva, but because Bayit Echad Hu Boneh, Beit Achi, Ve'eno Boneh Shnei Batim. Okay. That tells us not that the remaining tzara suddenly becomes now a iser karet, right? There were let's say five wives that fall before 10 brothers. Yeah. At the moment that they fall, any brother can take any of the wives. So how, it says Rabbi Yochanan, could those wives suddenly recreate an iser karet later when one of the brothers takes them? And how could a brother who once was at a mitzvah to take them suddenly be also the karet? So both ways there should be no iser of karet. Not on the tzara and not on the other brothers. Interesting, the first time that we view the other brothers similar to the tzarot. The tzarot to the other wives, the brothers of the other brothers. Neither of them should have a reconstituted iser karet on them. And that's in fact what Rabbi Yochanan holds. So what Rabbi Yochanan should have said to Reish Lakish is, what's the matter with you, man? In that case, there would only be an Isra Lav on all of the brothers, and Isra Lav requires Chalitza. There's no Ptur from Min HaYibum and Min HaChalitza. So how could we say that in the case? Forget about Sarat Sarah. The case doesn't even work, because she would require Chalitza anyway. So Leimalei, therefore, let him say, what's wrong with you? Chayvei Lavimi, Chayvei Lavim get B'nei Chalitza V'Yibum Minu. Well, I mean, obviously, Rabbi Yochanan is not going to just stick it to him. I mean, he knows that Reish Lakish is asking him the question based on his presupposition that there is, in fact, an Isser of Karet to the others, and that he did not expect Rabbi Yochanan to say, oh, you fool, you know I disagree with that. He expected Rabbi Yochanan to say, the way I understand it, is there a way out? Can you help me to be consistent with my own opinion, not with your opinion? So therefore, what Rabbi Yochanan was telling him is Lidvaravka Amarle. Obviously, he was answering him according to his assumptions, not according to my assumption. What do you think, this is a modern machlokas, which people talk past each other without assessing what the other guy's talking about? He was saying, I understand, you're asking me, given your assumptions, what would we do about it? I say there's a way out for you. The way out for you is Shein HaMetzorah Sir. I mean, obviously, with the D, according to me, this isn't even a question. I mean, it's Chayvei Lavimi. Chayv Elavim would require Chalitzim in the first place. But I understand, according to you, you've got a problem. Let me help you out of the problem. So, okay, then we can take this approach. The reason that we don't have case 17, according to Levi, in your opinion, would be because of the Torah itself. So that's fine. That works out fine. Well, what is this machlokas, by the way? We can't say gufa, the gufa about the nature of a brayta, but we'd say itmar. Let's take a look, in fact, into the machlokas of the Rabbi Yochanan Shlokas that we're just referring to, but we never talked about it before. Itmar. Hakoleitz levinto, the chazar v'kitsha, somebody who gave chalitza, now he goes and he's over the isser of shuv lo yivneh. If he didn't build the bayit the first time, he can't build it now, later. So he shouldn't have married her. But he did. So Rish Lakish says, well, who eino chayav ala chalutza karet? I mean, the Torah never, since he went ahead and did the yibum chalitza paradigm, so obviously there's no isur karet on him, but there's a new isur, shuv lo yivneh. But the brothers, by the way, the brothers who never did chalitza, and they ended up not being part of the chalitza yibum paradigm, so they're chayav on the chalitza karet from before. She is still on them, the original brother's wife, right? Furthermore, the tzara that wasn't taken, the other wives, oh, they remain asurot on everybody. Benu, benachim, are chayavim ala tzara karet. They're both us. Whereas, that's Rish Lakish's opinion. Okay, so that's exactly the opinion we just saw in his question to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, however, is Bein Hu Ubein Achin Einan Chayavim Lo Ala Chalut Zakaret Velo Ala Tzara Karet. You can't reconstitute an Isser Karet when there was a window of opportunity in which not only was there no Isser Karet, but it was even a mitzvah to take this woman by this man. So somebody else took them. So what? My time in Reish Lakish. Where does Reish Lakish get the idea that there's an Isser Karet? Omar Kra, well, it says Asher Lo Yivneh, right? That's his law. Kimon Shalobaneh, Shuv Lo Yivneh. Okay. But who is the guy that the terrorist spoke about when it said Lo Yivneh? The guy who was doing the Chalitza. So she's shouting at him, right? Everybody, oh, this is what is done to the man who does not build his brother's home. What about the other ones? They don't have the Shavlo Yivneh. So he that's Koy Belo Yivneh, the Echav are back to the way they always were, get a kaime. Nobody's telling them that Shavlo Yivneh. They are the way they always were. It's an Isser Karet. Furthermore, the Aladida, it's only the woman who is saying this. Asher lo yivneh beit achiv, meaning me. So she is the one that we say that we've got this lav. But the tzora, kidekaim and kaimi, I mean, a co-wife who never made it to Beit Din and never did chalitza, she's out of the picture. She is still the original. We look at her as being married, having been married, and never gotten into the mitzvah of the chalitza yibum paradigm. She is married to the brother, the deceased brother. It's as if with her he had children, as far as she's concerned. And there was no heter ever. She's a typical Eshet Ah. And that's an Isser Karet, says Reish Lakish.
She wouldn't even talk to anybody else.
To which Rabbi Yochanan says, well, how is this possible? Mi ika mi. Is there a thing that can conceivably, the mi kora, that first we have this window in which Iboy Haicholitz, Viboy Haicholitz, that either brother, any brother, could have done the chalitza. Furthermore, any of the tzarot could have done the chalitza. The Iboy Lehai Cholitz, and now suddenly we have a reconstituted Isser of Eshet Ah. How did the reconstitution come about precisely? Will you tell me that? And now she's Chayav Kares. The way to understand the nature of a single brother doing Yibum in the place of the other brothers, to a single wife in the place of the other co-wives, it's a sort of representation. That one brother who does the Yibum represents all of the brothers in the Yibum Chalitza paradigm. That one wife who gets the Chalitza represents all of the wives in the Yibum Chalitza paradigm, however it's done. You certainly don't say, they're out of it. What do you mean they're out of it? They were all in it. How did they suddenly get out of it? So one acts on behalf of the others. So the brother, the other brothers in the same situation as him. There's nothing unique about him. So if he's not chayav karet, how are they chayav karet? And if the other wives are not chayav karet, chayavot karet, so how is this one chayavot karet? That doesn't make sense. So we have to look at it as ihu shlichuta da achim kavid. He is representing all of the brothers in this, and ihi, she, the one of the wives, shlichuta da tzarakav, that she's representing all of the other co-wives in this, and therefore it makes no sense to start talking about a reconstituted isur karet. Now this has interesting implications in how the whole mechanism works. It might be a simple expression of the din of breira, that maybe we view it as now retroactively suddenly redefining that the mitzvah was only on this one. Difficult to believe this would be a breira and a diorite would involve us in all sorts of. It may be a machlokas in the understanding of the nature of Zika, but of course we haven't really touched on Zika yet except as an aside to understand Achotz Kukato, but we're a little premature for us to be thinking about Zika because, you know, we're too young for that kind of stuff at this point. So we'll wait till we get there. But tomorrow we're going to have Zika is the situation that exists between a Yevama and her Yavam before either Yibum or Chalitza has taken place. It's the way in which at the moment of death the Kedushin of the original brother creates certain realities in the relationship to the brother and the sister-in-law and the brother. That's called Zika. What that is, how it works, its implications, those are subjects of some complex issues later on. We talked about it only for a moment, and that is we said, Achotz Kukato. That was the case, the paradigm we were looking at, you know, Asur Lezemeteret Lezeh, Asur Lezemeteret Lezeh. Those are all the things that we'll discuss. As most privileges, it's also a burden.
So, can we make the movie Seven Brides or Seven Brothers?
There's
we can, right?
That's my question. Can it be done simultaneous?
That's great. We should do that. No, it can't.
It can't or it can't?
It can't. Can't. But, I mean, that was Appalachia. But we could have figured out all kinds of fascinating. Well, that time Seattle would have been
out. My question with that is, what's my question? Can it be done simultaneous?
Rav Ada, Karchina, Kameda Rav Kano, Amar Mishmeda Rava. Le'olam ita the Rebbe Hani Kvomi. V'achi kamarle. Imo anusat aviv. Bechada mashkachatla. Betarti lo mashkachatla. Because I Yaakov shtei achiyot anas. So fine. Then you've got the achota she'iventa. Yes. But you don't have a sur lezeh mutar lezeh because she's going to be also the sister of his mother. V'ish shtei nochriyot anas. So they're not sisters. Fine. Then you have a sur lezeh mutar lezeh. But who cares anyway? It won't be an achota she'iventa. So therefore, the case can't happen. Lo mashkachat lo. Ravashi Omar, Niyolam Letle, the Rebbe Haniklalin, and Rebbe's perfectly happy talking about the Plukta. And the only reason he said about Levi, Kimidumani, She'in lo Moach Bekatkado, what's that? Of Kamale. My time alone, they yakta masnisa, that the mission is going to leave Rebbe Yehuda, the Yosra Manusat Aviv, because the next mission is Shesh Arayot Hamurot Mihelo, which is a continuation of our mission. What's this emo, excuse me? If emo is nisuat aviv, then you already said eshet aviv. El olav, emo is referring to anusat aviv. Ha ha ha. V'katani mitleshen nisuat l'akherim, l'akherimim, but not l'akim. Who's the man the other holds that they couldn't possibly be married to the achim, despite the fact that your father was never married to them? That's only Rabbi Yehuda, the also anusat aviv. So what are you asking me? Why it doesn't say 16 if the mission is beferes going on with Rabbi Yehuda? Mishumat, you look at Tani Lai. Come and leave it in the Ravashi. Well, still works out. Even I'll leave it in Rabbi Yehuda. Because you could have a case where he went ahead and he took her anyway, because, I mean, it's college, it's a disallowed. We're not talking about ifs, the ilokatani. I'm the Ravashi of Kana. You can even have a case without an if you live in Appalachia. The inami meshkafa without me, if you find it. Because Yaakov goes ahead, he rapes his daughter-in-law, has a son called Shimon. Reuven, the original son, dies. without sons, because the only son he's got ain't his son, is his father's son. And now, Naflala. Now, Naflala Kamebra. Umigo, you Asira. Saratanami Asira. He might even pass DNA tests, you know. We're talking about Akhvata without Isurim, of course, over here. Akhvata, the Asir Lokomire. Despite the fact that Rebbe made fun of him, Apal Pikin Botka, some of Losha Puska, or Potka, that Levi insisted on, boom, inserting it right in there, and he was Bedaik in his Brighta, to Tony Levi. Imo amim mupoteretzarata amim inapoteretzarata. Ketzad, if his mother was actually Nisuat Aviv, who then the Isser was so called, we have to put this word Niseit in quotation, it's obviously not a real marriage, Niseit lachim the Aviv made. Well, that's a mother that won't even bother her tzora because she wasn't even really married. But Haita imo anisat Aviv Niseit lachim, and that is in fact a valid marriage. So then, umate Zoe imo shaputeret sarata. The Alpha Pishanu Chachamim continues Levi b'mishnatenu chameshesrei. If you ask me, yeshanu lotziv sheshesrei. If we include this case, igonzu. Omer leRish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan and leLevi the Omer diin amikatani. Litnei hakolets liyivim tov v'chazav v'kicha umate below banim. You could have that case. The migo the ihi asura. Sarata nami asira. Amalei fishena betzarat sara. Wait, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan simply say v'lei malei chayve lavanim v'chayve lavan Rabbi Yochanan v'yibu? Because that's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. No, I mean he's talking with Dvarav Kama. Obviously the whole question doesn't even begin because there's no issue correct to any of their brothers. And chayve lavanim, chayve lavan would have required chalitzim for the first brother. Forget about it. There's no problem here. So they're b'nei chalitzim v'yibu. You know. But, I mean, you're asking me the questions, obviously, l'shitatcha. Okay, l'shitatcha, they're chayvei kritut. So the answer is the fishena b'tzorah tzorah. What is the machlok? Because between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan Itla. Hakol etz liyivim tov. V'chazar v'kicha, om Reish Lakish. Well, maybe he's not chayev ala chavutza karet. But the other brothers remain chayev ala chavutza karet from before. And furthermore, al hatzorah, now there, the tzorah, we never took off the karet even to him. So Benu Benachim would be Chayavim Ala Tzara from the original brothers before he died the Tzara, Ala Tzara Karet. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no way. Not him, not the brothers. Would not be Chayav, not on the Chalutza Karet, and not on the Tzara Karet. Now Rish Lakish's Svara is that the Pasuk says, Asher lo yivne beit achim. It's a kivon shelo bana. Shuv lo yivne, that's a lav, obviously not Karet. And it's a law that's addressed only to the guy who's doing the chalitza, iyuhu to carry below yivneh. But the other brothers are chavkinikai mekayman. And why should they be below yivneh? We're not talking to them. They didn't even start. The Allah didam, who furthermore, this is the only one of the wives that we're talking about building or not building. The other ones, the tzara, didn't even get involved in their kinikai mekayman. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that's ridiculous. Mi ika midi di mi kara iboy haicha. V'boy lehai chalitz, and now suddenly the Yisr Karet is reconstituted. V'hashta karela b'karet. We're going to have to say that il is doing the shlichus. I mean, it doesn't literally mean shlichus. It doesn't require their knowledge or their consent or whatever, but it basically standing in locum the brother. So il shlichuta de'achim ka'avid, and il shlichuta de'tzara ka'avdan.